Today we are going to talk about chapter 7 of Luke. It's a long chapter, so I will be pick and choose. So bear with me. Let's pray. Father God, we love and adore you this morning. We like to be in your presence, Lord. And we appreciate your presence in our midst, Lord. And Lord God, we ask that you will teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Luke chapter 7, start with verse 1. I want to read everything. We will be. So verse 1 said, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he," meaning the centurion, "was worthy of whom he should do this. For he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue." You know what? When I say he's worthy, I just keep on thinking. Every time I'm just keep on thinking he's worthy. If you do something good to somebody, for them you are worthy. Probably. But are you worthy before God? Because here they were calling Jesus. And they are telling Jesus, "This person is worthy." Was it that this person really worthy before God? We will see as we go on. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." You see, this man knows exactly that I'm not worthy. Before Jesus, I'm not worthy of anything. Before God, I'm worthless. Before God, I'm humble. Before God, I need his mercies. I'm not worthy of anything. And he went on and said that, "Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed." Say a word, and my servant will be healed. In this world which we live, which Pastor Rob has started with, there is a lot and a lot of things going on. Things are troubling us. Things are making our mind uneasy. We think of what to do. Some of us, we have got maybe family member, relatives, or ourselves, we have got something which is troubling us. We have looked for any way of solving those problems. We cannot find anything. We are worthless. We are hopeless. We cannot do anything because our mind has been exhausted and we cannot do anything. But today, I'm telling you, there is one who can do something. There is one who can speak a word and change your situation. There is one who can say just a simple word and everything will never be the same. That is Jesus. If you have anything going on in your life today, just speak to him. Just open up your heart to him and he will speak a word. He has already spoken a word at the cross. He said, "It is finished." And he's still speaking today. Meaning, it doesn't matter what is going on in your life. If you bring it at his feet, it is finished. It is solved. It is done. There is nothing to worry about. Amen? When I was looking at this chapter, as I said, it's a long one. There are three things that they are talking about here. A sick servant and a raised person who was dead and was raised. And there is a woman who the Bible called her a sinner. So when I was looking at it, I'm thinking, this is really a wide topic. What should I say to people, Lord? And the Holy Spirit said to me, to say to you, three things. We are all sick, whether you agree it or not. And sometimes we die. But the one who can revive us is here, is in this house. And he does give us forgiveness. And we can live forever. Amen? If you don't agree that we are dead, look at Mark chapter 2, verse 17. What does it say? When Jesus was sitting with the sinners eating, and they were murmuring, why is he sitting with the sinners? What did Jesus say? He said that we are all sick and in need. This is from the Message. We are all sick and in need of continuous consultation with physician. And Jesus said that. Jesus, overhearing them, shot back. Who needs a doctor? The health or the sick? I'm here inviting the sin sick, not the spiritually fit. If you are a Christian, we constantly need to pray. We constantly need to read the word of God. We constantly need to sit at his presence. We constantly need to speak to our Savior. So it's like a person who is sick going to hospital to see a doctor, to see a physician, and they will prescribe you a medication. It might be continuously, depends on your situation. But this is our medication, continuously medication, which we need to stick on to it without missing a dose. Amen? Hallelujah. So this man who's a centurion who had a servant who was sick, I'm thinking of this man and really I cannot comprehend, because this is only a servant and it seems he had a lot of servants. But why did he care so much for this one? Why? He could say, he can die. There is men anyway. I can replace him with another one or whatever. But he was so concerned. Jesus is concerned with one sinner more than we can even think of. Doesn't matter how many in your household they are saved. The one which is unsaved, Jesus is very, very concerned. And he's looking for that one sinner. He's looking for that one sinner who can come to him and be healed. He's looking for the sinners to touch them this morning and heal them from their sickness. This centurion, he was a soldier, and he has authority where he was. For those who knows about this, the army, you know how the authority goes. If you speak to those who are under your authority, they must obey. But this man knew that though I have an authority, there is one who is bigger. There is one who is a healer. There is one who is a savior. There is one who can say a word and everything can change. And he humbled himself and said to him, I'm not worthy. Yes, they may call me worthy, but I'm not worthy. So we need to be careful, people. Don't be carried forward with what people they say about you. We need to humble ourselves, especially when it comes to the things of God. We need to be very, very humble. We don't need to say, I know better than you. First of all, you came to the Lord only yesterday. What do you know? First of all, you just only accept Jesus today. You don't know much. We need to be humble. We know nothing. After all, this is really, really a wide word. Doesn't matter how many times you read it. Every day you read it, you get a new revelation. Every day God is speaking to you something different. Every day God is new in this book. So you cannot exhaust it, and you cannot know anything. You cannot know everything. You know something, but not everything. Sometimes we are in the midst of people who doesn't know God. But we know about Jesus. This centurion, they say it was a Roman. And the Roman and the Jewish, they have like hate-love relationship. But this, he did build them even a synagogue, meaning that this man did love them. did not say that, the Bible did not say that he was a Christian or not. But by his humbleness, for me, I might say he was a Christian. And he loves people. And he showed the love of Jesus to people. So when we go around people who doesn't know God, what do we do? Do we show the love of Jesus or do we judge them as I said before? What we do speaks volume about Jesus. We need to be careful because we might be the only Bible the world are reading. When they see what we do, they might be interested of knowing what has made change in us. Because none of us will say that you were born the way you are today. There is something which has brought change in you. And the people, they are noticing. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. That is Matthew 5, verse 13 to 14. And so we are the salt of earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? And he went on and say that we are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Why are you hiding before people who you are? Why you don't want to tell people that you are a Christian? Why you don't want to talk about your faith when you're in the midst of the world? You need to let your light shine. People who are around us, does they look at us and say that I have heard about Jesus? Because this centurion heard about Jesus. Or do we discourage them? Some people, they think they don't need Jesus in their lives. But believe me, they do. When they're in the crisis, they need Jesus. So when you see someone in crisis and you offer them the prayer, believe me, they won't say no. Because they are at the point of anything. And when you offer them prayer, and prayer does work, they will want to know more of what happened. And that's when we get an opportunity to speak about Jesus. Verse 17 of this chapter. He's talking about Jesus was walking around as usual. And so the people who were mourning. Verse 11 to 17. They were carrying somebody who was already dead. They are going to bury them. You know, when we are sink to sin to the extent, you know what I'm talking about. There are people who they don't feel bad to do bad. They do whatever they do, they think it's all right. There are some of the things when you hear someone has done it, you say, really? But it's really because they are dead. They don't have any feeling. They don't even know what is good anymore. We live in this world where the bad is called good and the good has been called bad. If you speak truth nowadays to people, you're called a bigot. If you join them, they will cheer you up. So it's our choice. Do we want to die? Or do we want to be resurrected by Jesus? Do we want him to touch us and be alive again? Or do we want to, because every day, we sank to those kind of situation where people, they are swearing, people, they are talking things which are... You look sometimes, you say, Lord, have mercy upon us. And that's what exactly Jesus did. He had mercy upon this woman because this woman was a widow. Her husband has already died and her son, only son, was going to die. And in Jewish tradition, it's believed that after the son have died, they will chase her out of her home because there is nothing to hold on to again. But Jesus, when people they think they have got you, but Jesus. When people, they think that you have nowhere to turn to, but Jesus. When people, they think that it's all over, but Jesus. Jesus. When you cling unto him, he will never let you down. He will never forsake you or leave you. He will never let your enemy triumph over you, because he is always, always there. This shows us that God is so involved with our daily living. God is so involved, is so concerned of what is going on in our life. In the midst of suffering, he is there. In the midst of rejoicing, he is there. In the midst of lacking, he's there. In the midst of you don't know what to do again, he's there. What we need to do is just to call on his name. Just to ask him. And just one touch, we will never be the same. Because verse 14, he said, he touched the coffin. And he said, arise. And the dead man was raised. And in Jewish tradition, it means to touch the coffin, he will become unclean. Because he has touched the coffin which has carried the dead body. But he didn't care. When Jesus comes to us, he doesn't care where you have been. He doesn't care what you are. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what kind of sin. Because some people, they say, you don't know me. What I've done, he won't forgive me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what kind of my life. Look at Paul. Paul, he was killing Christians. Paul, he was persecuting people. But look at him, who he became later. So Jesus, when he comes to our life, he erased all the sin with his blood. He erased everything and give you a story to tell. He give you a story to tell that I was a sinner, but now I am saved. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. That is Jesus who we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. And we love and adore him. Now we move to the woman now, because we don't have much time. This is from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat in meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and he stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spoke with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is who touches him, for she is a sinner. This man, Simon, on Luke, they describe him as a leper, where the same woman with alabaster was. He was a leper. And in the Bible, in the spiritually, a leper is a sinner. But he has already forgotten where he came from. And he's counting this woman as a sinner who doesn't deserve to be where they are. But this woman came to Jesus with a heart of worship. He came and he showed humility. He showed emotion. He showed adoration, repentance, and thanksgiving. Simon saw sin of this lady instead of sin, his need of forgiveness. We cannot offer true worship until we first acknowledge our sin. In John 4:23, Jesus explained that what kind of worship the Father seeks. He said, the time is coming and now has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are kind of worshipper Father seeks. We need to understand that true worship comes at a cost. Have you ever given anything lavishly from full of heart of thanksgiving? I don't want you to answer that, but you know. You know, you have an answer. Even that question, even myself, is touching me. Have you ever given anything which cost you? When Simon invited Jesus, I presume he had a lavish kind of dinner party, or where he invited all the important friends, probably, or the people on the seat which he respected and everything. But this woman from nowhere, she gate crashed the party. I can imagine what people did say when they saw her, because the Bible says that he was known in the city. She was a sinner. She was the person who, when you see her, you point fingers. That's what people we do. We point finger. Oh, you see her. You say, oh, now she's going there because there is I can assume that they say, oh, now she's going there because there is a lot of men. Maybe she's just going there if she can get one. That's we human being we do say. But this woman has got a completely different agenda and different idea. This woman knew that she was a sinner. In my opinion, I think by the time she decided to go there, she has already repented. Because I don't think a normal person you can think of doing what she did if you're still a sinner. I don't think so. I might be completely wrong. But I think for her, because this is the sacrifice, she did the sacrifice. There was a lot of people around looking at her, what is happening. She might have thought of, no, what are they going to say? What are they going to make of me? And most of the time, that kind of thing does stop us from being a servant in the kingdom. Some of us here will say that, I will join a music team, I will join tomorrow, I will. You have no. I will join a prayer meeting. I will. It has never happened. I will volunteer to do a Sunday school teacher. I will. That's something which is still in your heart. You have not done. I will help on a trading post. I will. That sentence, I will, it is in every one of us in something. In something. There is something you want to do, but you say, I will. When? But this woman said, this is my time. This is the time. I don't care who is around. I don't care who is watching. I don't care who knows me here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to fall at the feet of my Savior and thank him for what he's done for me. I'm going to show the heart of worship. I'm going to cry my heart out because I know who I was and I know who I am now. Because without this man, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be who I am now. I was in the darkness, but now I can see the light because of this man. So I don't care what people are saying. I don't care who is around. I don't care what is their judgment. I don't care. We need to have that kind of heart, people. You come to church in the morning, they're singing, don't look who is around you. Pour out your heart because you are with your king now. You are sitting at the feet of your king now. You don't look, what will they say? If I jump, what will they say? If I dance, what will they say? If I cry, what will they say? If I lie down on the floor, what are they going to say? Who cares? Who cares? You are before your King of Kings. You are pouring out your heart. You are, because he knows you inside out anyway. You are only showing gratitude for what he has already done. And he knows, because Simon here said, if this man could know who the manner of this woman, who knows. When I read that, I said, Simon, you invited Jesus in your house. Do you really know who he is? Because if he knows who Jesus is, he wouldn't have said that. Because he is a forgiver. He is the healer. He is the restorer. So if he has forgiven you, if he has healed you, if he has, why are you thinking he cannot do to someone else? Because even if this woman was a sinner, he's coming to the Savior now. He's looking for forgiveness. He's looking for restoration. She knows, I'm not going to waste any moment. I'm going to receive what is mine. And that is forgiveness and life everlasting, which is found only at the feet of Jesus. If we don't have a determination and a commitment, we cannot show a true worship. Because when you come here, you think, oh, if I sing too loud, what are they going to say? Who cares? Who cares? Honestly, I'm speaking from my heart. When you come here on Sunday, if you think like shouting, shout. If you think like dancing, dance. If you think like running around, run. Someone say that, someone ask Jesus, ask somebody, why did this Pentecostal church, they shout, they sing, they dance? In the Bible, it doesn't say that. The Bible, the people were dancing, were shouting, were doing. Well, Jesus never do that. Jesus has never danced. He has never, and someone said to them, said, Jesus never shout, never dance, but everyone who was touched did dance, did shout, did run around. Depends on what kind of touch was. He, every time when he touched somebody, something happened. And if you are touched by God, if you are touched by Jesus, you need to show that I am touched. And I know who has touched me. I know who has made me who I am today. I know who has made me whole. I know who I believe. I know why I'm here this morning. It's because of him. And I don't care what people are going to say. I don't care what is going around me. I'm going to give my all because I'm before my God. Amen? We need to be broken before God. Without being broken, God cannot use us. We are the vessels, and he's seeking for the broken vessels. And if you're not broken, how can he use us? We need to be people who somebody is looking at and said, oh, I can go to Doreen because she has been there. I can go to Karen because she's been there. I can go to Pastor Rob because he has been there. But if every time you come, you should I use the word to try to be brave? Or you are hardening your heart. Probably that's the word, although it's tough. You harden your heart. You are singing the song. You can feel that the song is touching you, but you don't want to say, if I cry, my makeup will look bad. You say, if I cry, people, they will look at me. Why am I crying in the church? You need to let it go. Let it go. Because you are worshiping the King of Kings. You are not worshiping anyone here. You did not come here because of anyone. You came here because of Jesus. So when you sit at his feet, whatever you do, doesn't matter. Imagine this woman has got her hair. I can imagine her hair was expensive hair as well. Because you know, according to the Bible, what she does, definitely she looked good. But she didn't care. She used the same hair to wipe the feet of Jesus. She used the same perfume and poured it out of it. Because they say on that alabaster cost nearly, they said maybe more than a year wage. So a year salary is a lot of money. But she did not care. She did not care what is going to cost her. She did not care how he's going to use it. He said, here, this is my moment. I'm going to use it. And this is where I'm going to use it. No matter who is here, he poured that fragrance in that room. And I can imagine that room was full of perfume thing or aroma, whatever you call it. It's just smelling nice because of that perfume. You know, when we worship God in spirit and truth, that aroma goes to him. He's just listening, say, oh, my children are singing so nicely. Doesn't matter how the music is, you sing because of the words. Are those words saying something to you? Are those words in the song meaning something to you? Are you? Because when you are singing those words, you are talking to your master. And you, when you're talking to him, you appreciate what he has done to you. You show it before him because he's the only one who knows. We remember David when the Ark of Covenant was passed, he danced. His own wife criticized him. So when you worship, whether it's in your house, those who are close to you, they might criticize you because they don't know what you are experiencing. But David did not care. In the face of criticism, David decided to worship. We need to pour out fragrance and make the room smell nice. Nice of worship, nice of presence of God, nice of people knowing that for those who come to church who are not believers, they know, yes, there is something in here. I need to know more. I want to experience this one here. What I experienced there, people, the way people, they are so joyful. The way people, they are singing. The way people, they're worshiping. I want to experience that more. But if someone comes here in the morning, we are singing and everyone is like this. Amazing grace, I'll see. People, this is personal. Is how you feel. You might be quiet and you're still worshiping. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say here, let your emotions out. If you're worshiping the Lord because you are with the King of Kings, you don't need to worry about who is around you. Pour out your oil out. Remember that he is your first love. He is your first love. In his presence, we fall at his feet. We don't need to care who is around us. We need to fix our eyes on him when we are worshiping or when we are praising. We need to tell him that take all of our hearts. We need to say to him, I pour all the oil of praise to you. Take everything. Nothing I withhold. Because you are the only one who knows me. You are the only one who can transform me. You are the only one who can change my situation. You are the only one I worship and I glorify. Because you are the one who I know you have the best interest in my life. People, they may have an interest in your life, but no one has got the best interest like Jesus. God is the only one who has the best interest in you. He knows where we are coming from. He knows where we are heading. He knows even what you are going to do later while you don't know. But he knows. And he's the one who averts all the disasters from us without even knowing. That's why it's so important to spend time in his feet. Can I ask you one favor? Try to spare at least 10 minutes every day and try to worship him and you'll see the changes. You will start with 10 minutes, I know. It will turn out to be ours because of the joy, because of the experience. You just put a nice music, gospel music, listen to it, speak to him, meditate in him while you listen to the music. You start little by little and you find that you are no longer the person who you used to be. You are no longer the same person who used to complain every day. You are no longer the person who used to say, this is not working. Because even the prayers which has not been answered, you will understand why they have not been answered. Because as I said, God knows. You will find yourself saying that, thank you for the unanswered prayer. Have you ever said that? Thank you, Lord, for the prayer which you did not answer. Because always we do complain of the things which he has not answered. But we don't know what would have happened if he did answer the way we ask. So as we go home today, let's go knowing that when we decide to worship him, we don't need to be worried of who is around us. We don't need to look. In fact, we don't even need to look around. Just pour out your heart. And I will tell you one secret. Probably some of you know it. There is that program on the television where they say, you are what you eat. Who have ever seen it? You are what you eat. I don't know if it's still there. It used to be there a long time ago. You are what you eat. What you feed your body with is what you become. So when you complain of being obese, is that what you eat? So when you complain of not having the presence of God, is what you eat. If you train yourself to listen to the worshipy music and all the time, believe me, even in the midst of everything, you find your spirit is singing. You may be around people who are talking, you feel like, why are they talking like that? But inside you can hear the song. And sometimes you feel like, should I pour it out? But maybe the environment you are, you can't. But you give, for me, I always give God the glory that I can still sing in my spirit. Because when I cannot do anything, there is a song coming outside. There is a song which is praising him. There is a song which is reminding me of what is going on and is reminding me of who he is and the goodness of God and everything. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because you are what you eat. So if you put yourself a time to listen to worship music and every time, you find that it has become a habit in your heart and it will build you up for good. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, because you are the only one we worship. You are the only one we glorify. You are the only one we praise, Father God. And when we are in your presence, Lord, we don't want to be disturbed by anything because we know we are in the presence of the Most High God. We are in the presence of the King of Kings, Lord, where we need to sit and enjoy what you have for us, Lord God. So, Father God, we ask that, Lord God, you continue to speak to us day and day and that, Father God, you will continue to transform us to be the better people who you have created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.